All right, I'm going to start down here for just a moment, and then I'll go back up onto the stage. But I want you to think about the many different things that Lord Jesus did during his earthly ministry. Think about the many different things that Lord Jesus did during his earthly ministry. Now I want you to pick one that you think or feel was the most impactful, that had the most impact. Yeah, that's pretty tough. But pick one. I mean, it may not be the only one. It may not be the top one. But pick one that you see and think about as really, really impactful. So think of the many things that Lord Jesus did during his earthly ministry. Raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to share really quick. One thing that the Lord Jesus did that was really powerful, that had great impact. Somebody. I'm going to bring a microphone to you if you don't raise your hand. All right.
I would say the adulterous woman, where he drew the line in the sand.
Yeah. Thank you. Somebody else. Really powerful. Did I see a hand over here somewhere? They're going, no. Somebody else. Really impactful. Something that was powerful. All right.
When Jesus fed the 5,000, and after he told the crowd that they needed to eat and drink his blood, and they walked away.
All right. How about somebody else? Really impactful. Just had an amazing impact. All right. Thank you. I was thinking somebody over here was going to raise their hand. Here you go.
It would have to be his very end, how he just stood there and took it. He carried the cross. He did it all by himself, even though those people helped him along the way. But he, in the end, did it himself.
Great. So thank you. So as you can imagine, in preparation, I was asking myself the same thing. And I probably have the same view that you do. I think that I would likely include most of the same things that you said on my list. But today I want to focus on one particular thing that Lord Jesus did on a number of occasions. He stopped. And frequently, that was when others didn't. Lord Jesus stopped. Now, why am I talking about this today? Well, as you know, at least some of you remember, we are in a series on the fact that Scripture calls us to be ambassadors for Christ. And we've been talking about this for a couple of weeks now. We are ambassadors for Christ who do what he did. As ambassadors for Christ, we are either mature or becoming mature, reliable representatives and messengers who see what he sees. That's what we talked about last week. Ambassadors for Christ see what he sees. And at the end of the message last week, I asked you to list people that you see who are looking for or need to see Lord Jesus. And today, the emphasis, as I've already said, is that as ambassadors for Christ, we stop when and how he stops. We're going to be looking at what the Spirit reveals to us through Scripture about when and how Lord Jesus stops. Because as ambassadors for Christ, we are doing the same thing. Why are we coming to Scripture for that? Because we know that the Spirit uses Scripture to teach us, to reprimand us, to correct us, and to train us to serve him, including to serve him as ambassadors. So would you join me in prayer that we'll be ready to hear and receive, respond to what Lord Jesus reveals to us through his Spirit? Let's pray. We are grateful, Lord, that you have made Scripture available to us. We're grateful that by your Spirit you bring it to our attention, that you cause us to remember it and give us insight and understanding. And so we ask that as we continue this morning that you would do that, that you would help us to see and understand what it is you want us to know about serving as your ambassadors. And we commit that before we know all the details, we will respond in gratitude and obedience. Amen. Ambassadors for Christ stop when and how he stops. Some of you mentioned some of these already, but think about some of the times when Lord Jesus stopped. I think about what's described in Luke chapter 8 as Lord Jesus and a crowd of people are moving to the house of Jairus, a synagogue official. His daughter is in grave condition. By the time they arrive there, she has died. But on the way, there was a woman with a chronic hemorrhage who touched the hem of his garment, and he stopped. He stopped for her. Even in the midst of this very, very important task, he stopped for her. I think about what is recorded in Luke chapter 14, how there is there gathered in a synagogue, and there's a man there who's suffering from severe inflammation, and it's painful. It's a chronic condition. It's been going on for a long time, and people probably just quit paying attention to him. But Lord Jesus stopped. Lord Jesus stopped for him. I think about what's recorded in Luke chapter 10, when Lord Jesus and his disciples are making their way, and they are approached by 10 men with leprosy, and Lord Jesus stopped for them. And then just last week, we talked about how it's recorded in Luke chapter 18. Lord Jesus and his disciples are on their way to Jerusalem, and they need to go through Jericho. That would be the common way to get there. And as they approach the city of Jericho, there is a man who is blind, who is beside the road, by the road, and there's a huge crowd traveling with Lord Jesus, and the man learns that this is Lord Jesus passing by, and he calls out to him, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Scripture says he stopped. When other people said, "You need to shut up. Don't interfere with us. Don't pester Jesus. He doesn't have time for you," Lord Jesus stopped. Will you notice that in these examples and in many others in Scripture, that the people for whom Jesus stopped are so often the ones that others are overlooking, particularly others like us. Religious kind of people. People are supposed to know better. He stopped for people who are so often overlooked, stopped for people who were inconvenient because they got in the way of whatever else the agenda was, and they were interruptions rather than being recognized as divine opportunities and divine assignments. So we're today going to look at another time when Lord Jesus stopped. It's recorded in Luke chapter 19. I'm going to begin reading with verse 1, Luke chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. This is another time when Lord Jesus stopped. And I want you to notice with me how Lord Jesus stopped, what he did, how he stopped. Luke chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. Those two things usually went together. In that time, that usually went together. The Roman government imposed a variety of sales taxes and transportation fees on citizens, but the government did not employ tax collectors with government salaries. Rather, they contracted out the work of collecting taxes, and they contracted it out to the highest bidders, and they actually sold franchises. So that the highest bidders were awarded the contract of collecting taxes in an area, in a region. Something like how radio and internet frequencies are sold these days. And the contractor who owned a franchise to collect taxes in a particular area was called the chief collector. Zacchaeus was one of those. He was a franchise owner. He wasn't one of those who directly collected the taxes himself. He was the franchise owner, and he would then contract with workers who would do the day-to-day work of collecting taxes. Matthew was employed as a tax collector. He was a day-to-day laborer worker who collected taxes. Zacchaeus was a franchise owner for collecting taxes in the region. And the collectors then had to collect enough money to pay the tax that had been that was required by the Roman government to provide a profit to the franchise-holding chief tax collector and to cover their own commissions. And this was legal. In fact, the Roman government didn't regulate the amount of collection commissions or the profits of the chief tax collectors. So understand, Zacchaeus was a Jewish man who made his living by overseeing the taking of money from other Jews for the Roman government. His business, sanctioned by the Roman government, took money that his profits allowed him, and took enough money so that his profits would allow him to maintain a wealthy lifestyle. That's this Zacchaeus. So you can see then that he probably wasn't invited to very many parties in the city. Verse 3. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, whether he'd heard of him before, he just heard about it on that day, it's not clear. Maybe he was just curious, maybe he was looking for something else. Verse 3 says, he was unable to see Jesus due to the crowd because he was short in stature. Verse 4, so he ran on ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, because he was about to pass through that way. So you got the picture. You see what's happening. Zacchaeus is straining to see Jesus. He runs ahead of the crowd. He decides to climb a sycamore tree so that he can see and avoid being noticed by the crowd. They're going to pass by underneath. Now, the kind of tree that's described here was common in that area. It had small heart-shaped leaves, very small yellow fruit, similar to figs. But most important for Zacchaeus, it had large outstretched branches that began to grow fairly close to the ground. Verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he just went walking right on by. Nah. When Jesus came to the place, he stopped. He looked up and saw Zacchaeus and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So much for escaping notice. Not only did Lord Jesus stop, he drew the whole crowd's attention to Zacchaeus up in a tree. Imagine Zacchaeus' surprise when he heard Lord Jesus say, hey, Zacchaeus, what's going on? And what's for dinner? Verse 6 says, he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. Verse 7, when the people saw, they all complained, saying, he has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Assuming, of course, they weren't. Most of us want so badly to convince ourselves that we're somehow better than the people around us. As if Zacchaeus was a sinner and they weren't. Lord Jesus did not exclude people. no matter who they were, he stopped for them. And transformation happened as a result. And he's still doing that today. And his ambassadors do what he did. Verse 8, but Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I am giving to the poor, and if I have extorted anything from anyone, I am giving back four times as much. Leviticus 6, 2-5 say in the Jewish law that anyone guilty of fraud must return what he took plus 20% more. Zacchaeus pledged an extra 300%. Evidence of transformation. Verse 9. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. The excluded outcast, no longer. Now he's a member of the family. Verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So I want you to notice with me four ends in a Jesus stop. Ambassadors for Christ stop when and how he stopped. So we're going to look at four ends in how Lord Jesus stopped. And the first one is notice. We've talked about this already. It's a part of what we were talking about last week. When he paid attention, he saw these folks. And he did this over and over. Some of you shared some of these examples earlier from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 5 talks about how he noticed Levi or Matthew, the tax collector. Luke chapter 13, he noticed a woman in a synagogue who could not stand up straight because of a chronic health condition. Luke chapter 21 records how he noticed the widow who gave all she had. When everyone was giving so much, she had just four bits of a coins, and she gave it all, and he noticed her. Luke chapter 23 records how he noticed the thief on the cross. Others either wanted to ridicule him or not notice him at all. Lord Jesus noted and noticed the thief on the cross who cried out to him. And in this passage in Luke chapter 19, he noticed Zacchaeus, who probably didn't want to be noticed until he was. And when he was, and it was Lord Jesus who noticed him, Scripture says, I read it, he came down joyfully, quickly came down, eager and enthusiastic that Jesus noticed him. We need to notice people. So part of what we were talking about last week, are you noticing the people around us? The second N is name. Lord Jesus calls us by name. And when Lord Jesus calls you by name, transformation is a result. Remember, just from the Gospel of John, it's recorded in Luke chapter 11, Lord Jesus stood outside the tomb of Lazarus, who had been there for 3 days, called him by name. Talk about transformation. He came out fully alive. In John chapter 20, Lord Jesus calls Mary Magdalene by name after he had been raised. And she is in grief, not knowing that he had been raised to life. And she sees him but doesn't recognize him until he calls her by name, Mary. And she became the very first eyewitness to the resurrection. Mary. John chapter 21 records how Lord Jesus came and called Simon Peter by name. Simon Peter had denied even knowing him. Lord Jesus had told him, this is what's going to happen. And that's exactly what happened. Lord Jesus came back and called him by name. And he was transformed from a cowardly denier of the Lord to a bold witness for the Lord. And here, Zacchaeus. When Lord Jesus called Zacchaeus by name, it was the beginning of a transformation, a complete, thorough, radical transformation. So noticing people doesn't mean just noticing, giving them a quick minute, and you're gone. It means that we come to know them, which brings us to the third N, invest time. And you're going, wait a minute, that's not N. Okay, it's in the sound, not in the letter. It sounds like N, invest. So that's the third N, invest, that we invest time. That's what Lord Jesus did. He said, come down, Zacchaeus. I'm going to hang with you. I'm coming to stay with you. Think about all the people that Lord Jesus invested time in. John chapter 3 records how he invested time with Nicodemus, which had complete transformational results. We didn't know all the details about it until the end of Lord Jesus' earthly ministry. Think about what is recorded in John chapter 4 as Lord Jesus took time, invested time in the woman at the well in Samaria. He invested time, it says in Luke chapter 18, with children that others wanted to overlook and say they're not worth it, that they're an interference. He took time for them. He invested time in the lives of the disciples, and he invested time with Zacchaeus. It's not sufficient for us just to give people a minute and pass on by. That's not what Lord Jesus did. That's not what ambassadors of Christ do. We have to get to know. We have to invest time with people, which then brings us to the fourth N, and that is to invite. We need to invite them for a personal encounter with Lord Jesus. We need to invite them into a personal encounter with Lord Jesus. That's what Jesus did that day with Zacchaeus. He said, I'm going to spend some time with you. And that encounter had transformational results. We've talked about this already. It's described, for example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, all things become new. Look at how Zacchaeus was transformed. He was transformed with a new heart. The greedy grifter became a generous giver. The miser became a minister to others. He was transformed with new community. This hermit that was outcast by himself became a host. This pariah became actually a partner with Lord Jesus. And this outcast was transformed into a son, a child in the family. And he was transformed with a new hope. This sinner on the road to destruction became a saint on the way of life. That day, Lord Jesus stopped, and it made all the difference. Lord Jesus was walking through town. He's passing through. He doesn't have appointments that people know of. He's on his way to Jerusalem. And think of all the amazing, important things he's supposed to be doing in Jerusalem. He's already been delayed on the way into town. Now he's passing through town. I don't know if other people think that he needs to make up some lost time. Lord Jesus didn't think that way. He stopped. He stopped. We are ambassadors for Christ. And ambassadors for Christ stop when and how Lord Jesus stops. Lord Jesus stopped for Zacchaeus. Who are the Zacchaeuses in your life that you need to stop for? They're all around us. Maybe you see them in the grocery store. Maybe you see them in that workstation next to you. Maybe you see them sitting in the back of the class. Maybe you see them walking through the neighborhood. Maybe you see them living next door. Maybe you see them bringing children to one of our special events. Many of them are not looking for Jesus. They don't know that they need him. They're not yet aware. But they're, as the scripture says that we read, lost. I don't mean geographically, obviously. I mean spiritually, emotionally, adrift in life, without direction or confused. You stay in that condition long enough, you give up hope, and you just go through the motions. I know what I'm talking about. That's what happens. Who are those Zacchaeuses in your life? Are you just passing them by? I challenge you today to ask the Spirit of God to bring to your mind the name, the face of at least one Zacchaeus in your life. But remember, you pray that prayer, you need to pay attention, because that's a prayer he's going to answer. Who are the Zacchaeuses in your life? And how will you invest time with them? How will I invest time? Oh, come on. Have you seen my calendar? Have you seen my schedule? I mean, I'm too busy for this. Really. You're busier than Lord Jesus. He had 3 years to change the world. He was always busy. He was never rushed. And he used time to include people, not exclude them. How often is it that we use even religious excuses for exclusion? Well, if they're interested, they'll come to us. Yeah, but they're not. That's the point. We're called to be ambassadors, to get out of that circle in the corner and to move into the lives of people that the Lord brings into our lives. But so often we're more like the Pharisees, for whom everybody else was just contagiously unclean. We need to keep our business from those, keep our distance from those people. Lord Jesus didn't do that. His ambassadors do not. How will you invest time with them? And how will you invite them for an encounter with Lord Jesus? You're special. Please don't hear anything that I'm saying today as meaning that time with you is not cool. It's great. It's really powerful and important. As special as you are, people need transformation. They need comfort. They need encouragement. They need transformation. That's not going to happen with just an encounter with you. That's only possible in a personal encounter with Jesus himself. I am aware that you may be here feeling more like Zacchaeus than Jesus. Feeling like right now in your life you're up a tree. How does an adult grown man end up in a tree? Well, some people like to climb trees. I don't know if you know this, but in 1983, Peter Jenkins started Tree Climbers International to help people enjoy climbing trees, people of all ages, to enjoy climbing trees safely. But for most of us, if we're up a tree, not literally, but if we're up a tree in our life, it means there's a problem. We're in a place we don't really want to be. And unlike Zacchaeus, many times we find ourselves up on a tree, but we're not quite sure how we got there. Because it's not so much that there was some intentional, deliberate process by which we got there, but it's this gradual series of false steps and foolish choices and desperate attempts. So this morning, if you're feeling more that you identify with Zacchaeus than Lord Jesus, I have good news for you. Lord Jesus not only stopped for Zacchaeus, he stops for you. He knows you. He loves you. And he would invite you in the same way that he invited Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, put your name in that place. Put your name in the place of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come out of the tree. I have something very different in store for you. He's not going to come up in the tree and bring you down. He's not going to coerce you in coming out of the tree. But he's going to call you. He's going to invite you to trust him and spend time with him and become a part of the family of God. But that means that you have to make a choice. However it is that you ended up in a tree, it was a series of your own choices, maybe unconscious, maybe deliberate. When you and I try to exercise control over our lives for which we were not created, we end up in a tree. And so what we need to do is to discard that, to turn away from that, to decide, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to come down out of the tree and trust Jesus. I'm going to trust him for forgiveness of those choices that I've made that got me up in that tree in the first place. He paid the price of that forgiveness already on the cross. That's what the cross is all about. And people talk about that as receiving him as your Savior. It means that you trust him for forgiveness, for the choices you've made that took you into wherever you've ended up in life without him. Trusting him also means that you trust him to follow him in the direction in a relationship, in a personal relationship with him and his people, others who are doing the same thing. When we trust Lord Jesus as our substitute, as our Savior for forgiveness, we trust him as the Lord of our life, that transformation begins. We're adopted into the family of God, and the transformation has launched. We immediately become a member of the family, and he begins to grow and develop us into becoming more and more like him so that we can be faithful ambassadors. Have you ever made that choice? Or are you still up a tree? He's calling out to you. You can make that choice right now. There's no special script you have to follow. There's not an incantation that's required that you have to repeat. You just turn the attention of your heart and life to him. Give your life, surrender to him. Receive him as your Savior for forgiveness. Acknowledge him as the Lord of your life. Do that in your own words, in the words that you would want to use in the quietness of your heart. You can do that right now as I'm talking. You can do that right now in the quietness of your heart. And I encourage you to do that, to join Zacchaeus and so many of others of us who are here who have come down out of the tree that we got ourselves stuck in. And now we're walking with Jesus. Will you come with us? If you make that choice today for the first time, then I'd ask you to come and talk with me after the service. We want to encourage you. We want to support you. All of us are learning what it means to be more and more faithful in that walk with Jesus, and we'd love to join with you on that journey. If you have received Jesus, then you are his ambassador. Now, what kind of ambassador you are, I don't know, but you are an ambassador if you have received Jesus. And ambassadors for Christ stop when he stops and how he stops. So this week, I want to ask you to continue that list of people that are in your life that are looking for Jesus or need to see him. And then ask the Spirit to show you how you can stop to invest time with them. That's what we're here for. Will you join me in that? Let's be ambassadors for Christ. Let's stop when and how he does. All right? Let's pray. Lord, I'm grateful today that you stopped for me. And my life is different than it would have been otherwise. Thank you for the many people that you filled my life with who encouraged me to come down out of the tree and to trust you. I pray this morning for those who are here and those who will be listening later, perhaps are online now or will be looking at the video later on, who see themselves as still being up a tree and separate from you. I pray, Lord, that they would hear your loving call and invitation and respond. And as a church, we ask that you would show us how to partner with them in their journey as we all seek to be increasingly faithful ambassadors for Lord Jesus, in whose name I pray. Amen.
I'd like to sing along for our last worship song, Cornerstone. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dared not trust the sweetest friend, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Now may our Lord Jesus, who calls us out from the world to his assembly of the transformed, fill our minds with the truth that he is the living Christ, our hearts with his love for those still languishing on the illusion of darkness and death, our words with bold witness of his kingdom, our hands with strong, consistent, enthusiastic labor to bring life to every place, people, and person where death and darkness in any form still reigns. May he fill our fellowship with the absolute assurance of his faithfulness and the urgency of the people we meet, that we may follow his calling and accomplish his mission at this time, in this place, to be his faithful ambassadors for his glory and honor in our generation and generations to come until he returns to bring us home. Amen.